Welcome in the latest episode of the 5 on the Floor podcast on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. Make sure to check out 5reasonsports.com for all the latest South Florida sports news. It is totally free. Also, check out the new 5 Rings Canes on our platform. Josh Darrow still involved, but Alex Dono and Larry Bluestein taking a more prominent role there, and we'll be adding a bunch of contributors. So we're going to get 5 Rings Canes to the same level in terms of contributors and everything else that we are getting the Heat platform. Also, check out 3 Yards Per Carry. They've got a new trailer for their third season. But we've got big news, and then you guys can turn off the podcast after this because I know a lot of you are just tuning in for this. We have 2 tickets to give away to the Dwayne Wade jersey retirement game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So you can watch Colin Sexton pound the ball into the hardwood for 24 seconds, and you can watch Dwayne Wade get his jersey retired. Here's all you need to do. Follow Lamas Dental on Instagram. That's Lamas Dental on Instagram. And tag 3 friends on their post. So go to the Instagram post and you just have to tag 3 friends. So obviously bringing people to the Instagram account. The winner will be chosen by Lamas Dental 48 hours before the game. So that's Thursday. So this podcast is going to post overnight into Wednesday. You've got a little bit of time. The more friends that are tagged, the more entries into the giveaway. And of course, the game is Saturday night, February 22nd at 8 p.m. And now, today's episode.
Welcome to 5 on the Floor, a Miami Heat and NBA podcast from Ethan Skolnick with Alphonse Sidney, aka Alf 954. Brought to you by the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back in South Florida, as is Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. Alphonse Sidney, where were you this weekend, Alf, that you couldn't make it to All-Star weekend?
No, it wasn't this weekend. It was the next weekend I'm being in Columbia, and the week beforehand I had a trade show, so it was just too much time to ask off for. So I missed the frigid tundra of Chicago. Too damn bad.
Well, yeah, you also missed All-Star Weekend. But other than that, yeah. You're going to Columbia? Which Columbia? The college I went to or the country?
No, I'm going to Medellin. Ah. So I probably won't be back, if knowing my history with Colombian women.
I'm going to stay silent on that. Just, damn. We don't really need you on this podcast. Also with us today, because now Alf is going to be shown the door, Nikias Duncan. You can follow him at Nikias NBA. He's the one who tweets things and they get 6,000 retweets. Nikias is back. Were you back in South Carolina at this point?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yes, sir.
Glad to be somewhere with some sun.
Yeah. Well, by the way, there's a photo that the 3 of us took together, and it was pointed out to me that I am the same age as Alex and Nikias combined. Because I celebrated my birthday over the weekend. And actually, I think I'm a year older than the 2 of you combined, so don't give it to me.
Wow. But,
stats. Right, that's a stat, right? We're asking people to name our album. What did somebody call it? 2 Live Crewnecks? Is that what was it?
2 Live Crewneck, yeah.
Yeah, 2 Live Crewneck. All right, anyway, we're going to talk about All-Star Weekend here. Alf was not there, so we've got a little bit of an outsider's perspective on this. I'm going to start from the Heat perspective. And kind of what we witnessed there. And I called it a very good weekend for the Miami Heat. The Heat are relevant again in a way that they have not been really for years. I mean, the only one keeping them relevant was Dwayne and his return. And then that whole show with him getting added as a late All-Star last year. But to have 6 guys participating this time around, or at least 6 were supposed to, Tyler Herro couldn't because of the injury. But, and also to be in the middle of controversy with one of them, to have a breakout star and another one. And then, of course, there's some issues about why maybe the 2 All-Stars didn't play as much, especially down the stretch of the game. I said, you know, this weekend was so good, Dwayne Wade would give it a 9 out of 10. So let's start with you, Nikias. What did we learn, if anything, about the Heat's contingent this weekend?
That their young core is a lot better than that has been given credit for, I believe. As great as Bam Adebayo has been this year, I think seeing him win the skills competition probably shed more light from a national perspective. Seeing him nail all of the passes in the skill competition, I think he went, 3 of 6 from 3 throughout the whole thing. It was really just an introduction to Bam Adebayo on the national stage. I think it's going to be huge for him moving forward, but obviously going to be huge for the Heat. I think you talked to him after the game. He said that this weekend was huge for his confidence. He thinks he's going to be back. a lot in the future. So I think that's going to be huge for him. But I think that's the big takeaway, is that Miami has, it's not just Jimmy Butler and the Butlerettes. Miami has a lot of talent, a lot of young talent, and I think they're going to be quite the destination once 2021 rolls around.
Alex, looking at Bam, and yeah, he did say he plans to be back here every year, and I don't see why there's any reason he shouldn't be in the mix going forward every year. He's 22. I mean, Chris Bosh, I think, started going when he was 23 and basically was there for more than a decade. That's another topic we're going to get to here on the show, because that's Heat-related as well. But just looking at Bam, you know, I also asked him if he felt this was a breakout weekend, and he said it's been a breakout season. And I don't mean that the skills competition was the one thing that made him relevant, but I agree with Nikias that it showed you, like, okay, we know he's gifted and he's versatile, but like to see him do it again, I mean, literally he left Spencer Dinwiddie in the dust. I mean, that guy won the competition before, and like him and Sabonis, who've been compared in some ways as maybe competing for that all-star spot, Sabonis couldn't catch up to him. I mean, he looks like a different athlete than some of these other guys. Have we not sort of given enough credit to what Bam is going to be?
I mean, I don't really think so. I think us specifically have given him more than enough credit all year. But yeah, it goes to show what Nikias is talking about right now, that he's going to get the recognition going forward, right? This was just the start, like especially with the timing that we got with the Zach Lowe article, where there was even more of a spotlight on him to go along with the timing of All-Star Weekend, him winning the Skills Challenge, him participating in the All-Star Game. I think it's just going to be one of many for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets into double digits for his career, because he's so polished, so ahead of his time, I think, as a 22-year-old, considering that he was always just a backup. In his first year as a starter, he proved to be a foundational piece within a month or two, right? Like, I think this guy is a lot better than pretty much anybody saw coming, including the Heat, including us, right? I mean, it's not that anybody was at fault, but this guy was just so much better than we expected, and I think he is really a foundational piece, right? Like, they've got somebody that they have to keep, and it's obvious. I think he's going to be here over and over and over again. And honestly, it was great to see him go 3-0 on Siakam, because you already know that he's shut down Siakam twice this season. And now, right. Yeah. So it was good to see.
Would we say, Nikias, that's his closest comp at this point, Siakam?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, like and like Alex said, he's outplayed him when they've gone head to head and then beat him in that competition. Alf, one of the things that kept coming up this weekend, and I'm going to get to some of Jimmy Butler's comments, including the Chicago comment, which I want to make sure we throw out the window here a little bit. But Jimmy and Bam keep playing this game where they talk about how the other is more important to the team's success. It's really cute. I mean, it's sort of like DJJ saying Bam's the most athletic guy on the team and the best dunker on the team. You know, I mean, this is stuff that only really seems to happen with the Heat, whereas, you know, Simmons and Embiid are throwing the ball at each other on the court. Who's right, I guess? Who's right? Who's more important to the Heat's success? Has it been Bam or has it been Jimmy?
I mean, it's hard to say because Bam has missed no time, but Jimmy has missed time. And when Jimmy misses time, the Heat don't look as good, don't look nearly as good. So just off of that alone, you could say, all right, maybe Jimmy's the more important player to the Heat success. But the funny thing is, man, when you look at Bam, and it was Tim Legler just talking about his motor, which is one of the things I feel like we talked about at the beginning of the year, but as we've seen more skill out of him, we kind of forget the fact that he plays 38 minutes nonstop. Like he's just a constant ball of energy. That what he brings to the table when he's on the floor, I don't even know if what Jimmy does is as important, because he is so important to what they do defensively. And we've talked about how they need to be better defensively. Could you imagine if Bam wasn't on this team right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, how bad would the defense be if it wasn't for Bam? Like, so when you talk about who's more important, I think it's and now this is going to sound stupid, especially because Nikias is on the episode and, you know, he's all about math and numbers. But when you talk about the intangible stuff, I think Jimmy's the most important player on the team. I think he makes this team go. I think the entire team feeds off of his energy and feeds off of his personality, and they play the way they play because of Jimmy. But on the floor, basketball-wise, I think right now that Bam is their most important player because he brings the ball up on offense. They move. They do a lot of the things that they do on offense through him, and he's their best defender right now.
Yeah, and like I said, Jimmy said it again to NBA TV that Bam's the most important player on the team. I want to get to some of Jimmy's comments, and then after the break, we'll start to touch on the competitions and particularly the Derrick Jones Jr. one. But I stood in front of Jimmy Butler. He arrived late to his own presser on Saturday, which was not unexpected. But he did sit there for about 18 minutes and answered questions. The Chicago writers, bless their souls, Casey Johnson and Joe Calley and all their others, were kind of trying to press him about whether or not he enjoyed his experience in Chicago and whether or not he ever wanted to return. And Jimmy threw this out there. And the only reason this raises alarm bells for Heat fans is because, you know, I was among those who downplayed LeBron. I was at a practice in Cleveland in, I think, 2012. And it was during Linsanity, I remember, because LeBron and Dwayne were getting asked all these questions about Jeremy Lin, and after they got asked them, they'd go and start laughing about it together as soon as the cameras left. Like, who the bleep is Jeremy Lin? While all this was going on for a month, and this was before the Heat basically ended Linsanity. But I remember all this at that practice because LeBron kind of left the door open to come back to Cleveland someday. And I remember I got out of there and I was walking through a CVS and I reached LeBron's guy and I said, is there anything to this? And he said, no. He said, LeBron's just being polite. And I was like, okay. And of course we know now, looking back at it, some of the stuff that Windhorse and others have written, McMenamin, LeBron, that was a message to Dan Gilbert and to Cleveland ownership. I might be back here someday. Jimmy was pressed on this and he kept saying, I could see myself finishing my career in Chicago. I'll start with you on this, Alf. Is this anything that Heat fans should be concerned about?
No, and there's a couple of reasons. First of all, I do think he was just being polite and he was talking to Chicago press. I know he started his career there, but it's not like he's from there. It's not the LeBron Cleveland situation. And then second of all, by the time he goes back there, I mean, it's going to sound pretty messed up, but how old will he be by the time this contract is up?
In Tibbs years or real years, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, exactly. You first of all, in real years, and then you add the Tibb years to it. I mean, if he finishes his last couple years in Chicago as a sixth man or something like that, who really cares? I think the Heat fan is going to get the best years out of Jimmy that you're going to see. And if he decides to go back to Chicago, which I think is laughable, I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's one of these guys who probably just wants to finish his career here, unless it's something like a Goran Dragic situation where in after his contract is up, the Heat just can't afford to bring him back for some reason. I think he's going to finish his career in Miami, but if he doesn't, I don't think those years that he would play in Chicago are going to be consequential at all.
Nikias, what does it say that since Jimmy left, and I know we can talk about how the Bulls were a 500 team with Jimmy as their best player, but what does it say that since Jimmy left Minnesota, they've been a train wreck? Since he left Chicago, is there something worse than a train wreck? I mean, they were chanting fire Gar Packs like every time Zach LaVine met with the media this year, this weekend. And then, you know, obviously you look at Philadelphia not living up to expectations and seem to miss him. Does that say something? Is that in your view, because I know you're studying it from the basketball perspective, is that Jimmy's personality and what's being missed there, or is that Jimmy the basketball player that's being missed there? And is he being – Joe Calley asked this question. He's a big supporter of his. He writes for Chicago Sun-Times. And Billy said, do you feel you're underappreciated? And Jimmy's response was, well, I'm appreciated in Miami. What do you make of that? That all of the teams Jimmy leaves are worse after.
I think it speaks more to his on-court impact than any of the off-court stuff, just because of how much Jimmy drives on both ends of the floor. In Chicago, he was obviously a closer. In Minnesota, he was definitely the closer. In Miami, he's been a closer. And you look at Chicago and you look at Minnesota, neither one of those teams really has anyone that can slam the door. And then once you get into the intangible stuff, just how hard he plays, the kind of standard that he tries to set, even though, you know, the way that he gets there obviously rubs some people the wrong way in Minnesota specifically. But I think just the kind of intensity that he brought and the kind of example he tried to set was something that's meant for a winning team. And it just didn't seem like either of those spots were really ready for that. Chicago tried to go more vet heavy in his last year when they brought in Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo, but the organizational structure there was just kind of a mess. It's a little bit of the same thing in Minnesota, at least when he was there. I actually like Minnesota's new management and ownership now.
Yeah.
But they're still a long ways off right now. So I think just what Jimmy brought on the floor, I think that's the biggest thing that they're missing.
All right, let's close the Jimmy Bam stuff here, Alex, with this. The All-Star game, I know it was the first that you've attended in person. And I, you know, we're going to talk about the format and DJJ after the break. But one of the things that was somewhat controversial is that Nick Nurse basically decided to play his two guys, Siakam and Lowry, endlessly at the end of that game. And even playing Lowry with Kemba Walker, which meant you had all these terrible matchups on the court because they were so damn small. And you know, just the way the switching worked out, it didn't work out very well. They lost the game. And, you know, I don't know that people were sort of calling for Bam to play, but there's sort of some question about why Jimmy, when Jimmy actually wanted to play this game, like he made it clear he wanted to be, he was going to be competitive in this game. This isn't like the one he asked out of in LA. I feel like they would have been better off at the end of that game, even though Jimmy wasn't playing particularly well, with him instead of Lowry or Siakam or somebody at the end of that game. Do you think it would have made a difference? Are you surprised that Nick Nurse would not use him?
Listen, I respect Nick Nurse a lot, right? He did a great job in his first year as a coach, winning the title, obviously, with great talent, but pretty much out-coaching everybody along the way in the playoffs. He's done an absolutely fantastic job this year. I think they're a top-six team on both ends, statistically. And, yeah, Nick Nurse, fire him from the All-Star game because the roster that he had out there was a big one. And I think he didn't use it to his advantage. I think he rode Lowry and Kemba so hard. They didn't sit, I feel like, in the whole fourth period. And, like, Kemba wasn't that good. You know who else wasn't that good in the end until he started getting those free throws? Joel Embiid.
Yep.
And another thing, Nurse, rookie move, man. Playing your guys, both of your most important players, for so long. Now you got to go through a stretch run where you're trying to beat all the other teams for seeding. That's a rookie move, man. But, yeah, like, he could have thrown out a lineup with, like, Bam and Gobert and Embiid and Siakam and Giannis. He should have done that. I feel like that wins you the game right there. If you're really that innovative as a coach, why not throw that out in the All-Star game? I mean, you're playing with a target score already.
It would have at least prevented guys from getting the rim. But that's the weird part about it. Most coaches don't want to play their guys in the All-Star game. And he rode his two guys till the end. And, you know, I know Lowry took, 16 charges, but – but even so, like, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. All right, we're going to get to the DJJ controversy. We're going to get to Chris Bosh and a couple of other things here in terms of the format after the break. I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Servani Men's Custom Clothier. Wore some of the clothes up there in that group picture that I took with the Caius and Alex, where I'm the only one wearing professional clothes, but it's good. I got you both out of heat stuff. How frustrating is it to shop for dress clothes? You can never seem to find the right fit, color, or style. Maybe you feel like you'll never know what to wear or how to wear it. You've got a wedding or a special event coming up, or you just wear professional attire daily. That's why you got to go see Blanca over at Serrani Men's Custom Clothier in South Miami, her private showroom located right across from Sunset Place on Red Road, right above Shula's 357. Serrani has been designing fine custom-made clothing in South Miami for over 30 years. Your custom-made suits, pants, shirts, and shoes will fit you just the way you like. So schedule a private consultation with Blanca to start looking your best and get the benefit of a female's perspective on men's fashion. Give her a call at 305. That's 305-310-2085. That's 305-310-2085. Nothing fits like custom-tailored clothes, so stop buying off the rack. All right, let's get to DJJ and Dwayne. I feel like Dwayne Wade is in more places now than he was when he was playing. Was he Good Morning America this morning, Ellen last week? You know, obviously he's in the middle of one controversy, which I have a very strong opinion on. I don't know why anybody should tell Dwayne how to raise his child, but that's just my personal opinion. And then he's in the middle of another controversy because people somehow think he rigged this for Derrick Jones Jr. Nikias, who won the dunk contest?
I think Derrick Jones Jr. won the dunk contest. The taco fall dunk, the controversy over the taco fall dunk was just—it was a little much for me. Like, I understand the thought of dunking over a 7'5" man is absurd, and Aaron Gordon mostly pulled that off, but also he clipped him. So I don't think you can get a 50 for clipping the guy that you're trying to jump over. And if you're trying to, I mean, if you're trying to clear a big man, get a big man that you can clear. But that you shouldn't get sympathy points, I don't think. Especially once you're that late in the contest, you're already in overtime, basically. So, I mean, Derrick Jones, Jr. edged him out with that windmill basically from the free throw line. And I think that should just kind of be it.
It isn't that the thing. I mean, Derek, I know people said he redid the same dunk three times or very similar dunks, but he had dunks prepared for that. But Aaron Gordon didn't prepare the Taco Fall dunk. He just looked for the tallest guy he could jump over. Like, there was no prep there. There was no nothing. There was no planning. It was just Taco Fall is tall. Yes.
So the other guy who was in charge of Taco Fall being selected here was Shaq. Shaq. Yes. Played for both the Heat and the Magic. Oh, maybe maybe he likes the Heat a little bit more than the Magic. No, but Alf is back on, and Nikias agrees with your take about Taco Fall being clipped. I know you were attacking everybody on Twitter clipped. Over that.
He wasn't clipped. He was sexually assaulted, right?
So on the next day, though, he was fine, though. He's still tall. His head's not chopped off. He's still 7'5". But, yes.
I'm surprised because what happened to him is illegal in most states. So,
and as much as you talk about Derrick Jones Jr. like doing variations of the same dunk, Aaron Gordon quite literally did a Derrick Jones Jr. dunk.
No, it hasn't got enough attention. I think part of this is, and again, I don't want to pick on Magic fans, but let's pick on Magic fans. Since the year 2010, the Heat have made the playoffs 15 times. Or, excuse me, the Heat have won 15 playoff series. The Magic have won none. I feel like Magic fans, like, this is their championship. And yeah. The Magic organization is known for losing Shaq. When people think of the Heat, they don't even think of Shaq because they have two players who are more consequential in their history. I feel like this is an inferiority complex for Magic fans. Like, let's throw it in reverse, okay? We know that Heat fans, and I'll go to Alf on this first because you are, I guess, still the president of Heat Twitter. You're like Trump. Nobody's ever going to get you out of the office. So you're
been impeached already.
And nobody wants me there either, which is...
No one wants you there. It's the same as Trump. But, like, you're just going to be there forever. It's not... I mean, we named you. You're king, okay? Whatever. You're running North Korea. But basically, when I look at this, I'll ask you this question. If it was reversed, okay, if Derrick Jones Jr. got screwed, which is what I thought was going to happen at the end, would Heat fans be reacting the way that Magic fans are acting?
No, we wouldn't be saying – the Miami PD wouldn't be saying they're investigating a theft. Like, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. We'd just be like, Derrick Jones Jr. is the better dunker. He'll probably win it next year. I think there would have been a disappointment, but we probably would have just talked a bunch of trash and moved on. I mean, it really wouldn't be this big of a deal. And then it's not even just the Orlando fans. It's just all NBA media and just NBA fans in general who just don't. And I know it's going to sound like I'm doing the thing where everyone hates Miami, but it's true. Everyone hates Miami. Somehow Dwayne Wade's this conspirator. And it's this whole thing. And if it was in reverse, Heat Twitter would have been mad for maybe the rest of that night, and then we would have moved on the next day. But what else does Magic Twitter have to talk about?
I didn't even know Magic Twitter existed. What is it? It's three people talking about how they lost Oladipo? Like, what?
It's really depressing, just like the city.
What is it? Like, I mean, downtown Orlando, I mean, I don't want to mock downtown Orlando, but downtown Orlando sucks. It just sucks. That's what
I've always said. Orlando is a cesspool. There's just nothing going on there.
It's
nothing but hospitality workers and just depressed college students who couldn't get into UF.
It's basically just
waffle
houses. What is Orlando? Orlando is the only city with an arena where the Heat have to stay at a Marriott property because there's no place else to stay downtown, which is the reason why we always used to stay in the Heat Hotel.
Why don't they stay at the
run Disney into LeBron Hotel? In the bar? I mean,
they just stay in the Disney Castle.
Disney's not even Orlando, though. It's like saying that our stadium is in South Beach, but it's not. Disney's not in Orlando.
It's Kissimmee, right? Kissimmee.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is. I mean, is there an Orlando? Like, people were saying who I should pick on next. They're like, pick on Hawks Twitter. Like, does Hawks Twitter exist? Is that a thing?
No, Hawks right. Twitter doesn't exist. Hawks fans don't exist.
Right.
Did I ever tell you I got season tickets for the Hawks for $210 for the whole season?
First row?
Okay, one more thing, though. Can we go over the validity of the D-Wade controversy? Because it's very interesting. Yes. I'm sorry. There's no way you can deny it. And listen, when it happened, I'm very much on the same side as you guys here. Like, I'm not going to do the thing where I pick the other side just to go against you, because I can't go against Derrick Jones Jr. I love watching him dunk. It was incredible seeing it in person. I do think he won. And I don't want to hear the whole creativity argument, because Chance got dunked over like three times. And what you guys said about
the stolen dunk. He's 5 foot two. Find a bigger rapper. J. Cole 6'3". He was standing
Find a new slant.
Right.
Find a new slant. But no, but the D-Wade thing is very interesting, man, because – even though we can say that the whole thing about everybody conspiring to keep giving overtimes is kind of BS, which it is, I think it should be natural, even though the overtimes was really cool and it ended up being a great result. D-Wade is still the judge, right? He can still do whatever he wants with that pick. Like, I'm not really going to sit here and cry, like, why didn't he conspire and conform to what everybody else wanted to do?
Why should he be conspiring?
But it's like the proof is right there, though. Like, he threw off the earpiece that he had before the score was even revealed. Common and Scotty were both looking right at him. And then the reporting that came out after from Ramona Shelburne of ESPN was like, it pointed so much at D-Wade that, like, she should have just said it was Dwayne Wade.
Well, but he's not the only one who gave him a nine, though. That's
why
were
they conspiring in the first place? And the whole thing is, like,
for another dunk off.
All the way up to that Taco Fall dunk, it was neck and neck. Like, let's not act like Aaron Gordon's performance was trash. That's what was reported.
Ramona Shelburne was.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But up until that Taco Fall dunk, I don't care what they conspired beforehand. After what he did to the back of Taco Fall's neck, like, you can't give him a 10. It didn't even deserve a 9. He vaulted off with Taco Fall held the ball. He vaulted off the ball and still was all over the back of the guy's neck. He was giving him a piggyback ride. It was ridiculous.
I just want to understand, why don't they do this? Why don't I maybe one of you guys suggested this and I'm stealing it, but this is the easiest way. Just judge the dunks against each other in the extra rounds. That's all. Who had the better dunk? They both dunk, and then the five judges decide who had the better dunk.
You hold up a name.
Right. Instead of
because
this
the problem is they ruin the scoring by giving everything 50s early on. Right. So now everything is skewed for the rest of the contest.
Well, they gave the Dwight Howard dunk a 49, didn't they? That was not a 49.
Because it was a sentimental Kobe thing. So I understood. I mean, I get it. The thing was his first dunk was actually very underrated, but they knew he wasn't going to win, so they could give him a 49 and. Out of respect for Kobe.
The whole judging is so stupid.
And pick somebody beside Chadwick Boseman, somebody who actually wants to be there. Because Chadwick had absolutely no interest in the dunk contest. No,
look, people have Wakanda forever. That man, it's an oppression. But he just doesn't want to be out in the public at this point.
He's beating it out of him, man.
Oh, my God. All right, we got two more things to get to. We got to get to them quick here because this thing's going to run out on us. Real quick, 20 seconds or less, each of you. Did you like the new format, Nikias, for the All-Star game?
Yes, I did. Got to do something with the free throws at the end. I cannot remember who. I think it was Coop, actually.
It was Coop. Cooper had a great idea. Great idea.
Yeah, basically, if you're tied late in the game, you're taking free throws. Once you make the free throws, instead of them being added to your score, it deducts from your opponent's score. Mm-hmm. I like that idea just so you have to end the game on a bucket. But other than that, the format's great.
You guys like it?
I like it, and I like it even more because everyone complained about it beforehand. Because that's what we do on Twitter. We just complain about things without giving them a chance. It's like the draft or anything else. A draft, trade, new rules for a stupid All-Star game. Twitter gets apoplectic about the dumbest things, and then it happens. Oh, wow, it was great. So, yeah, basically that was a Jay Crowder of events.
I like how, like, Twitter has warped us so much that we root for everybody being upset that their original overreactions were wrong.
Like Tyler Hero? Yeah, I'll call a few of you guys out on that.
Whoa, we're right here.
All right, last one here. Chris Bosh.
Wingspan,
right? I want to hit on this before we go. Chris Bosh, the more I look at this, the more I understand it. I know Chris is upset by it, not making the Hall of Fame finalist group on his first try. He's a Hall of Famer. I saw that he sort of responded to some tweets. I think Chris has taken it personally. I don't understand the Basketball Hall of Fame. They seem to change the rules every year. I don't know who votes. They keep it a big secret, unlike the NFL, the Football Hall of Fame, where you know who the voters are, and they reveal their votes later on at times. So I don't know what the hell this is. They've got the international, they got the women's, it's all over the place. They apparently changed the rule that, you know, how many international players, how many women could get in this year so that they could spotlight the top of the class. And then they only took three players who are three of the greatest players of all time. Okay. Kobe, Garnett, and Duncan. So I understand Bosch is not at that level. Did you guys, Alex, you were particularly pissed about this at first.
Heated.
Have you calmed down about this?
I'm still fuming at the ears. My face is still red. I'm still fuming at the ears, but I think my face is still red because of the snow. But no, honestly, you know what my real take is? After having thought that, you can't put him over Garnett. You know what my real take is? You know, you zoom out a little bit, and Garnett and Bosch have had some similar careers, huh?
Yeah.
They both didn't do much with their original teams after years of just wasting time and looking like really, really good talents, even though Garnett was the better defensive one. And then they joined super teams and won titles. So what I'm saying here is Ring should be the tiebreaker. Bosch should be in over KG. That's my take.
Oh, come on.
That's my take.
I'm going to Nikias on this. Nikias, are you fuming at this, that Chris Bosh wasn't a finalist on his first try?
No, I'm not fuming, just because of the guys that went in ahead of him. Like, Chris is going to get in. And honestly, I mean, just the ballot thing is just kind of weird. I really don't know what the rules are on what the limits are, how many people can get in. So that kind of needs to be made more clear and needs to be more transparent. I want more transparency in voting, period.
Right.
But we need to get that together. But no, I'm fine. Chris is going to get in. He obviously deserves to get in. What was the stat? I think he's like the only 11-time All-Star that isn't in the Hall of Fame right now. Like, it's not going to be a big deal for long. It just kind of stinks that he's not getting honored soon enough, I guess. But it's all going
to
work out.
I think the best thing for him is that he's going to have more of the stage to himself next year. I know Ben Wallace is still out there. There's a couple players that are still out there. But
Chris Webber.
Chris Webber.
Hardaway.
Well, Timmy, I think Timmy's screwed. Timmy's done everything he can to repair
that. That's terrible.
And he's given up on it. I've never seen an athlete do more to try to repair a mistake and still nobody cares. It's amazing. Alf, I will leave this final thought for you. And then we're going to do a total separate Heat pod, and this got to be quick. Overall impressions, this Heat weekend was?
I thought it was a coming out party mostly for Bam and just showing the entire league how much young talent that the Heat have. The Zach Lowe article, like Alex said earlier, kind of just set the stage for the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it just seemed – the camaraderie I saw on the bench at the dunk contest was one of the coolest things that I saw, that all the Heat guys sat together. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you don't see that. It's usually a weekend where all the stars commingle. But all the Heat guys were right together on the bench. Derrick Jones Jr. went back there after every single dunk to make sure he talked to UD and all the different guys. And UD looked like he had the time of his life. I really felt like they needed this. Like, they really, really needed this break. I mean, Jimmy's talked about it a little bit. Like, he's going to spend the next 2 days not doing shit. And I believe him. So I feel like they're really setting themselves up for the stretch run. It was a good weekend, and it was a good break for the guys.
All right. Check out, obviously, our contests. You got to replay it. Go back to the beginning of the podcast because you've got very limited time on that one. Also, check out Seltzer Mayberg Law Firm, onecalllegal.com. Spell it out, O-N-E, calllegal.com. That's where you can have all of your legal needs handled, slip and fall, personal injury, traffic tickets, immigration, sports law. They handle everything based there right there in North Miami. But they handle cases from all over the state. So if you got any issue, as soon as the podcast is over, onecalllegal.com. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Regional Sports Network.